Good evening. I'm Special Agent Mike Ortiz of the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. Today's date is August the 9th, 2016, and the time is 12:06. Correction. Today is August the 10th, 2016. The time is 12:06 a.m. Be taking a sworn statement from Punta Gorda Police Department Lieutenant Christopher Salzman, S-A-L-S-M-A-N. Lieutenant Salzman's work address is the Punta Gorda Police Department, located at 1410 Tamiami Trail in Punta Gorda, Florida, 33950. Lieutenant Salzman, am I pronouncing it right?
Yes.
Lieutenant Salzman, can you please state your name and your date of birth?
Christopher Salzman.
And Lieutenant, do you know the meaning of perjury?
Yes.
In your own words, can you tell me what perjury is?
Lying after giving, lying under oath.
Yes, sir. At this time, will you allow me to swear you in for the purpose of taking this sworn statement?
Yes, sir.
Your right hand is raised. Do you, Lieutenant Christopher Salzman, solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in the matter we're about to discuss?
Yes, I do.
Very good. Relax. Reason we're here this morning is due to an officer-involved shooting that occurred at the Punta Gorda Police Department early last evening on August the 9th. Just briefly, Lieutenant, you're a lieutenant here at the Punta Gorda Police Department. How long have you been employed with the police department?
17 years.
Okay. And your current assignment is, what do you do?
Employee development, recruitment, training.
Okay. Are you in charge of training as well?
Yes.
Okay. And recruitment, you said?
Yes.
Okay. And direct your attention to an event that occurred yesterday at the police department. It was a Chamber of Commerce. Can you give me some background on what type of event that was?
It's a Chamber of Commerce event. It's similar to a Citizens Academy where we bring a group of folks in, introduce them to the police department, show them the records section, criminal investigation section, road patrol section, and then run them through our equipment that the officers carry, then introduce them to the weapons, the taser, and also some munitions weapons.
Okay. So yesterday, who was the group that was invited or that participated?
It was our Chamber of Commerce here in Punta Gorda.
Okay. And was this a one-night event or was this a series of classes?
No, a one-night event, 2 hours. It was expected to go from 5:30 to about 8 o'clock.
Okay. And how many people were you expecting, roughly?
Approximately 40.
40 people? Okay. And who was in charge of putting that on? Who in the department was the organizer?
Primarily Lieutenant Katie Heck.
Okay. And does she have assistance from other members of the department?
It's coordinated with the Chief of Police.
Okay. And so yesterday at 5:30, the event starts at 5:30. What officers were assigned to provide some of the training or some of the insight on the department?
The officers that were involved in presenting it were Chief Tom Lewis, Captain Jeff Woodard, Captain Jason Shishkini, myself. That's pretty much the primary officers that were involved in this.
Okay. And I understand there was some role-playing involved?
Yes.
And who were the participants in that?
The two role-playing officers were K-9 Officer Lee Cole and Master Police Officer Shane Chodakowski.
Okay. And so, again, did prior... I've never participated in one of these. I've done some training in the police academy when I was with Charlotte County years ago. But I just was responsible for one end. I didn't coordinate the whole class. So correct me if I'm wrong. Was there any type of menu or an itinerary that was sent out beforehand advising the folks that were attending what they would be participating in?
I don't know if it was sent to them. We had an itinerary that we were following here at the police department.
Okay. And did you have a contact person with the chamber?
I believe it was John Wright.
John Wright? Okay. And who would have facilitated that? Would that have been Lieutenant Heck?
Lieutenant Heck or our accreditation manager, Gloria Sapanik.
Okay. So, getting to tonight's itinerary, what was the schedule of events that were supposed to occur today?
The schedule of events would have started out with the class gathering in our training room, and it would have been the chief's welcome, where he goes through a PowerPoint overview of the department, lasting approximately 30 minutes, which would have went from about 5:30 to 6 p.m.
Okay, and I see that you're reading from a form. Is that an itinerary that you folks use tonight?
Yes, it is.
Can I see that?
Yes.
Would you be able to get a copy of this for me?
Yes.
Okay, and basically what I'm looking at is Punta Gorda Police. It's got a patch at the top of the page. It's entitled Chamber Police Night, Punta Gorda Police Department Outline, August 9th, 2016, 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. So, yes, if I could get a copy of this, that would be great. I'm just going to look at it. It says part one is the chief's welcome, 30 minutes. And correct me if I'm wrong, if maybe you or maybe the satire maybe skipped over something, I don't know. Section A says welcome all participants to the police department. Is that about right?
Yes.
B is PowerPoint overview of the department?
Yes.
Okay. And part two, it says police department tour, 15 minutes by Lewis, Salzman, and Shashini?
Yes.
Okay. Section A of that is criminal investigation section, evidence and property, 5 minutes. Is that correct?
Yes. They were broken into three groups, three equal-sized groups. We each took one group, and we took them to each station for approximately 5 minutes each.
Okay. And the second is road patrol section, 5 minutes, which was an overview of road function. Is that correct?
Correct.
C was record section, 5 minutes, and it was an overview of record function. Is that correct?
Correct.
The third phase was static display, 15 minutes. Just for whoever's listening or reading the transcript, what is the static display?
What we had set up out there was our marine truck and boat. We also had one of our Crown Victoria vehicles, which belongs to one of our SWAT team members, outfitted with all his gear so that the participants could come and view the marine gear and also the gear that one of our patrolmen who participates in SWAT would carry in their vehicle.
Okay. And basically sections 1, 2, and 3 is large boat display, overview of uses, overview of equipment. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, section B had road patrol, 5 minutes. Just going back to Marine Unit, Officer Kennedy, he was responsible for that?
Yes.
Okay, and section B was road patrol, 5 minutes, was Brandon Angelini. That was a vehicle display and overview of equipment. Is that correct?
Correct.
Section C was bike unit, 5 minutes, Shane Chadikowski?
Yes, Chadikowski.
Okay. First section is display. The second part is overview of uses. Is that correct?
Correct.
Section 4 shows shoot and don't shoot scenarios, 25 minutes. This involved Chief Lewis, Salzman, you, Chadikowski, and Cole. It says the whole class will participate in this after viewing the static display. Is that correct?
Correct.
And Section 5 of the itinerary was classroom teachings. That was supposed to be for 35 minutes by Chief Lewis and yourself. That involved taser, 20 minutes. First section, overview of weapon. Two, overview of uses. Third section was demo. Was that scheduled also?
It was scheduled,
okay.
Yes.
And section B was weapon systems. Patrol rifles, Glock, OC, and ballistic shield, 15 minutes. Overview of weapon. Section 2 is overview of uses. Was that on the schedule as well?
Yes, sir.
And section 6 shows a Q&A period, so that's question and answers.
Yes.
And section 7 is evaluation of the class. Is that correct?
Yes.
And again, if I could get a copy of this or keep this.
You can keep that.
Okay,
also.
Great. All right, let's go to... So you said the class was broken up into three sections.
Mm-hmm.
So roughly 10 people a group?
10 to 12, yes.
Okay. And did you lead a group?
Yes.
What group did you lead tonight?
I had the final group. It was the last group to leave the class.
Okay, and what was that? That was the last group to leave the class, okay.
Yes, they just broke into thirds.
I got you. All right, and the shoot, don't shoot scenarios is pretty much what we're concerned about. That included Lewis, Chief Lewis, Lieutenant Salzman, yourself, Chadikowski, what's his rank?
Master Police Officer.
And his first name?
Shane.
Shane and Cole, C-O-E-L, what's his first name?
Lee.
Okay. And this whole class will participate in this after the static display. That's the shoot, don't shoot scenario. Explain to me how that was going to work today.
The first scenario is basically a suspicious person complaint. There were two vehicles that were parked perpendicular to the building, and the officer, who was one of our class participants, was to be armed with a semi-munitions Glock weapon, similar to what's carried by the officers. She was to be dispatched to a suspicious person complaint. She was to get out, make verbal contact with the perpetrator, who is wearing a hood, acting suspiciously between the two vehicles. When the verbal interaction didn't get her the information that she was requesting, he was to respond to the back of the vehicle, where he was going to retrieve a weapon that was on the rear bumper. And at that point, you know, direct the weapon in her direction and fire off one or two of the blanks and basically get her attention and see what her response would be.
Okay.
Utilizing the semi-munition weapon that we supplied her.
Okay. And how was the candidate to participate? How was the candidate for this particular scenario, the shoot, don't shoot scenario, how were they picked?
The selection process, in the beginning of the class, every seat in the classroom had a pen, a police department pad, and inside each one of the pads, selected pads had either the chief's card, well, each one of them had had one of his cards, but if the card on the back said taser, they participated in the taser discharge. If it said gun, they were selected to participate in the shoot, don't shoot scenario with the gun.
Okay, so it was just a luck of the draw. Whoever sat at that desk, and they picked a card where they had that notebook and they had a card. That's
yes.
What they were going to participate in.
Correct.
Okay, and where did that take place? Where did they get the notebook and where did that take place?
It was in the beginning of the class during the introduction portion.
In the classroom?
Yes.
Okay.
When Chief Lewis introduced himself to all the members and said, okay, you know, that there's a gift on the table for you, open it up, and in the back you'll find my business card. On the back of the card, if it says taser, you've been selected to participate, okay, if you so choose. If it says gun, you've been selected if you want to participate.
Okay. And how many people were selected for the shoot, don't shoot?
Two.
And how many were selected for the taser?
Two.
So just four. So you were going to run four separate scenarios, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So for the scenarios, were they going to be different scenarios? For instance, the first don't shoot scenario, would that have been the same as the second person going through? Would the second person be going through the same thing?
Yes. When it comes to the shoot, don't shoot, there was going to be two scenarios for each of those two participants.
Right.
The first person was going to go through their two scenarios while the other person was kept secluded in the building. They wouldn't see the two scenarios. Then after the first person completed their two, the second person would come out and then they would do those same two.
I see. So the shoot, don't shoot was going to be two scenarios.
Correct.
Okay. So I think you just gave me a synopsis of the first scenario, correct?
Correct.
What was the second scenario, the second shoot, don't shoot scenario, what did that encompass?
The second scenario, obviously the first one was to get their awareness heightened by the firing of the firearm with the blanks, and on the second scenario, it would be a similar circumstance. They would be dispatched to a physical disturbance involving two participants. When they get there, there will be two people basically shoving and pushing against the wall. The officer or the participant would be sent there to try to break up this disturbance. And because their awareness would be heightened from the first scenario, many times they will be quick to draw the gun. And while that's happening, the bad guy in scenario number two is directed to break away from the fight and direct their aggression toward the officer coming at them, the participant, and find out what their reaction would be.
Okay. So I'm just paraphrasing. The first scenario was a suspicious person call near a car, so maybe like a prowler, that type of?
Yes.
Okay.
And the suspicious person in that scenario says, this is my girlfriend's car, I don't need you, don't need the police. And
okay. All right. So let's go to the first scenario. Did you know the woman, the first participant?
I know her from past events.
And was she debriefed on what type of scenario, what type of call? Tell me, first of all, who would do a breakdown from the time she got out there, or how she got her simunitions, or explain that to me.
Yeah, on this particular one, Captain Woodard actually took care of the simunitions weapon.
Okay.
He prepared the simunition weapon that was supplied to Miss Knowlton.
Okay.
He equipped her with her badge, the weapon, the magazine, and prepped her on the scenario. Once he presented the magazine and the weapon to Chief Lewis, Chief Lewis presented it to the crowd, explained to them how the simunition rounds work, what they're made up of, the fact that we use different color ones when there's multiple officers to identify, you know, who the shooters are. Once that explanation was provided to the crowd, the weapon was then turned over to Miss Knowlton, magazine was loaded in. She was basically told, you know, this is how the weapon works. I did listen as Captain Woodard explained to her the scenario and safety precautions for the weapon, indexing the finger. Don't put your finger in the trigger guard unless you intend to shoot. Basic things that we would tell anyone, you know, first time handling a weapon, whether it be simunition or a real weapon.
Right.
She explained that she understood. As he walked her over to the location of where the patrol car would be, where she was to begin, he explained the scenario that it was going to be a suspicious person complaint and you've just been dispatched to it. From there, she began the scenario.
Okay. And this was Captain Woodard. And where were you at when... Did you participate in any of the debriefing to Miss Knowlton?
No.
Okay. How about Chief Lewis? Did he give her any instruction or any debriefing?
No, I don't believe that that Chief Lewis had any interaction with Miss Knowlton apart from the presentation of the weapon after it was made safe.
Was there any... Yeah, I'll get to that in a second. Let me... Before I forget, was there anything in place in case, say, Miss Knowlton was reckless with her firearms? Say she panicked or whatever and was turned around and shot at the crowd. Was she assigned a handler per se? Do you rehearse that type of? You understand where I'm getting
at? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the officer that presents the scenario and the weapon will usually be the handler of that and follow through with the scenario, and that essentially is your safety officer that will call end scenario at that point.
Who would that have been?
That would have been, in this case, that would have been Captain Woodard.
Captain Woodard. So what's his role called during that scenario?
Essentially he would be the safety officer.
That's the word I'm looking for to call in
scenario.
You know what I'm saying? You know, she panics and she, oh my God, turns around and points the gun which way?
Yes.
Somebody can, you know, hey, calm her down and, you know.
Correct.
Point that gun in that firearm in the safe direction.
Yes.
Okay. So Captain Woodard would have been her safety officer. Let's focus now to Officer Lee Cole.
Yes.
What was his role in the scenario?
In the shoot, don't shoot scenario, he would be the bad guy.
Okay. And who was he briefed by today as far as the scenario? Who briefed Officer Cole on the scenario?
Well, this is a repeat scenario, one that we've done numerous times, and Officer Cole has been the bad guy participant in this exact scenario on numerous occasions. So he is quite familiar with both scenarios as we've done it numerous times. So he was well aware, and Captain Woodard would have had the scenario laid out, and there'd been no deviation from prior scenarios that we've run.
Okay. How many times do you think Officer Cole's participated in this, roughly?
In this particular one? I would say four times.
Four times, okay. So the scenario is, he's the suspicious person, he's the prowler, lurking near his, quote, girlfriend's car, and there is a firearm used at a prop or is firearm that's on the rear bumper of the vehicle, right?
Yes, located by the license
plate. And what type of gun was used today?
I believe that one is a .38.
A .38, okay. Did anybody, say a safety officer, did the safety officer, do you know, did they check that gun beforehand?
I don't know which officer was checking the weapon with him when it was loaded.
Okay. But is it normal for somebody to, because, you know, yes. We're on the range and, you know, they check your weapon, you know.
Absolutely.
Would that have been your purview or would that have been Captain Woodard's purview? Would he?
Well, in this particular case, it would have been incumbent on both of us.
Okay. Okay, was that done? Was his weapon checked prior to the exercise?
No, because by the time I had gotten out there, the scenario had already been set.
Okay.
My presumption was that because everything was already in place, that those safety checks had already been completed.
Okay. So everybody was already out there, including Captain Woodard, Chief Lewis, everybody was already out there?
Yes.
What was the reason for your delay for coming out?
I was coming from the prior static display area.
Okay. All right. So you were the last person on
deck,
I suppose. Okay. Are you a firearms instructor?
No.
Okay. Prior to today's event, or yesterday's event, the chamber, was there any type of briefing beforehand with the, you know, participants' role, you know, what roles each person was going to play?
For this particular event?
Academy, yeah, for the chamber event.
No, just the itinerary that you see laid out there.
And I understand you've done this before.
Yes.
Exactly, you use the same model that I'm showing on the piece of paper, just the different dates?
Yes.
Okay.
Generally. Yeah, it follows that same guide.
Okay. The shoot, don't shoot scenario started. Okay, so tell me what happened.
When the scenario actually began?
Yeah.
Miss Knowlton walked toward Officer Cole. Mm-hmm. Officer Cole then began, she had very low verbal dialogue toward him. Couldn't really hear exactly what he was saying back to her. Basically, you know, had a few hand motions. He started walking away from her. She wasn't very aggressive toward him. She had the weapon out the whole time. He asked her, he goes, "What do you have your weapon out for? I'm not doing anything wrong." He walked in between the two cars like he was walking away from her. As soon as he got to the back of the car, she wasn't very aggressive with him. He got to the back of the car. He picked the weapon up. He turned toward her, and two shots rang out. She immediately went down. It looked like, from my angle, looked like she was ducking down, like the shots had scared her. Sounded like blanks to me, because we've used blanks in the past. Couldn't tell that she had been struck by anything. As Officer Cole fired the two rounds, he came around the back of the vehicle heading toward my direction, which would have been, if you're looking at the scenario from the camera angle, I don't know if you saw the
video.
If you're looking from this point at where the two cars are, he came around the left of the car to the left, came around the back end of it. And as he was coming around, I heard him try to fire one more round. I heard a click, and then he came around and fired again, and then that second round went off. And shortly after that, I could look, and I could see something on the side of the car. And I'm looking at it, and I thought it was a hole. And sure enough, we go over, and she's down on the ground. Initially, we thought maybe she had a heart attack or an anxiety attack. And then as we got closer, you could see there was blood. So again, we didn't know if she fell and hurt herself. You know, she's an older woman.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if she had thin skin or if she had a pre-existing injury. And she wasn't speaking. She wasn't able to speak. And then we could see some blood in here. Someone managed to pull the shirt open, and we could see clearly that she had a trauma wound right here in the upper abdomen.
Okay.
And that's when everybody began working on her. A couple of the guys ran, tried to get some clotting material to get some pressure on there. Another guy ran into the FD. we tried to push the crowd back into the room, you know, just to get them away from there.
Did Officer Cole make any statement?
I think shortly after the realization had set in, he said something to the effect that that he thought that she was hit, and he goes saying something to the effect that it can't be. He goes, these are blanks. He goes, I use these all the time. Now, on the other side, I now know that there was a hole in that door. I could see it. One of the other officers, I think it was Officer Gonzalez, began to walk Officer Cole away from the scene and toward where my patrol car was parked, off to the left. So my first thought was, let's get that weapon, because I don't know if it's 5 rounds, 6 rounds. I heard 3 that went off. So I went and found him over there and asked him where the weapon was, and he said, I laid it down on the second car, not the one with the bullet hole in it, but the car furthest from him. And I said he laid it on the back trunk. So I went over there, saw the weapon laying on the trunk, opened it up, and I just remember looking in and seeing, I didn't know if it was a 5-shot or a 6-shot, but there was 2 empty cylinders in there. Pushed the rounds out, took them, sat them on the trunk. Didn't pay much attention. I knew that they were all empty, though. Couldn't recall if there was 3 or 4, you know, if it had been a 5 or 6 shot. Recalling now, there was 3 rounds that were fired, 1 click in between, so I'm assuming.
Was there any live rounds left in it?
No.
No?
No.
Were
no
you able to tell, based on your experience, whether they were live, whether they were blanks or...
No, because they look exactly the same.
Let's go back to the hole in the door. This is first I've got. So there was actually a round that went into the car door?
Yes.
Okay. So just walk me through the shots. What he did. He's facing Mrs. Knowlton,
mm-hmm.
correct? And he give me the shot sequence, how he did that again.
She's walking between the two cars. The cars are parked parallel to each other.
Okay.
Perpendicular to the building, almost like two officers would get together when they're talking
right.
to each other between the two cars. He walks between the two cars like he's going towards the trunk of the one car where he makes the left turn.
Okay.
She's following behind him. He gets to the trunk, grabs the weapon off of where the license plate would be,
right.
does a quick turn. She's still between the two cars. She's about 4, maybe 4.5 feet from him. She's actually walking toward him. She has the weapon out and in her hand. And from what I can see, that because of the windows and the, you know, he's behind the passenger and rear window, I see the one shot, 2 shot, and then he turns and goes to run around the back of the car.
Right.
And as he comes around the car, I could hear he's trying to shoot another round. I hear the click, and then he comes around the side, and like he's going to shoot, you know, through the windows, fires another round, and that's the one that goes through the door.
The door. To the other car.
To the car that's closest to me. It would have been the passenger side of the car that he took the gun off of the license plate trunk area.
Okay. So 3 shots fired?
Yes.
Okay. That explains that. Okay. Is that the same gun? the revolver, is that used in the, was that the same weapon that was used in the prior scenarios?
Well, apparently, yes.
Okay.
That was unbeknownst to me.
Okay.
Because this is only my second time actually participating in this.
Okay.
The position that I'm in right now was previously held by Captain Woodard.
Okay.
So he has run these scenarios in the past.
Okay.
And what I found out today was that that weapon, apparently, or from what we know at this point, is Lee Cole's training weapon that he may use for blanks during his canine training.
Okay.
So we have a different 38 caliber weapon that we use for our sim munitions training.
Okay.
That I thought we were using with the blanks.
Okay.
But that wasn't the case.
Okay.
So I've never issued this weapon to him. I've never checked it for safety. The first time I've touched that weapon was today when I cleared it.
Okay. So just going back as far as the safety officer, you got to the scenario late. So do you know or do you not know whether or not a safety check was performed on that gun?
Do not know.
Do not know, okay. Is that revolver painted in any way, like orange handle, blue?
No.
Nothing. In other trainings that you folks do here, do you use the 38 for...
The 38 that we use has a restrictor on it that will not allow a regular round to go in it.
Is that painted blue or red?
No, but it has the restrictor on it.
Okay. And for the people that don't know what a restrictor is that read this transcript or listen to this audio?
It will not permit a lethal round to go through it.
Okay. As far as a blank, is it possible that a blank has a wad in it that could...
Yes.
Is it possible?
Yes.
Okay. Would that be a defect in the round?
I'm not very familiar with blanks.
Then we'll leave it at that.
Yes.
Okay. We'll leave it at that. That's all the questions I have, Lieutenant. Is there anything that you can think of that I haven't asked that you feel that may be important to this?
No, sir.
Okay. Has everything you've told me been the truth to the best of your knowledge and belief?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That'll conclude to this morning's interview. Today's date is August 10th, 2016. The time is 12:39 a.m. Thank you, Lieutenant.